Chop Talk is brought to you by the Kosho School of Karate's premium martial arts training equipment. Frustrated with the low quality of the big manufacturers, the hassle and expense of custom-made equipment, or the months-long delivery times offered by the Japanese brands, if your order ever arrives at all? Kosho offers makiwara, iron sandals, specialty punching bags, and other premium martial arts training equipment, all at great prices and great delivery times. Kosho equipment is guaranteed to be high quality and heavy duty, exactly what serious traditional martial artists demand. Contact the Kosho School of Karate for more information. Go to www.koshoequip.com or email koshoschoolofkarate@gmail.com. Kosho, premium martial arts training equipment for the serious martial artist. Hey everybody, welcome to Chop Talk. I'm your host, Nate England. If you listen to the show on iTunes, please write a review and give us a 5-star rating. Also, be sure to check out the show's page on Facebook. This week we are wrapping up our multi-dojo, multi-state, multi-martial arts, international karate road trip. This thing took so much energy out of me that regular Chop Talk listeners may have noticed that the show has been coming up pretty sporadically over the last few months. Well, today's episode is the last pre-recorded show in the bin. So, next week, Chop Talk will be returning with all new, newly recorded episodes. Just a forewarning, though, the audio on this week's episode is a little rough. The first half of the show was recorded on the road, literally, as Kosho School of Karate instructor Evan Jones and I were heading over a recently reopened mountain pass in the Appalachians. The pass has been closed for over 2 months due to severe mudslide, and as you can hear in the audio, we almost slid over the side ourselves. I was paying a little too much attention to the conversation and not enough to driving. The second half of the show was recorded at the Shakespeare Arms, a local English pub in Guelph, Ontario. All of the guys from the Kosho School of Karate that made the trip from Ohio to Canada were there, Paul and Mark Tarvin, Travis Voles, Tom Dougherty, and of course Evan Jones. And I'm happy to report that all of them successfully passed their Johto test and were promoted. Thanks for listening, and enjoy the show.
Yeah, there's oh, look at that. Is that where the mudslide was?
I guess so.
Oh my God. Well,
yeah, you can see it might take a while.
Yeah, I can see why that would have shut the highway down. Oh, anyway, okay. Evan and I have officially completed phase two of our karate adventure and are now on the road on the way to phase three, passing over, what's this mountain's name?
Jellicoe Mountain.
Jellicoe Mountain, which apparently had shut down the freeway last month. We're going by the mudslide now, and it looks like it's in good shape. All right, Evan, well, what'd you think about the classical fighting arts seminar down in Georgia?
It was really good. They had a lot of good people there. I met a lot of really nice people that were very helpful with things I didn't know. It was Gojinryu, and I'm not a Gojinryu practitioner. They gave really good information. Kuba Sensei was awesome. And the judo, which came as a surprise to both of us, was pretty nice too.
Yeah, I wasn't planning on doing any judo on this road trip. A lot of other stuff, but no judo. But there it was. So it was a great, I thought it was a really good seminar. It's really well organized. The facility really surprised me. You know, when I saw this was in this tiny little town in rural Georgia, why are they having this big seminar here? They could have it anywhere. But the place was enormous.
Yes, it was really cool. And we were exploring the town and we ran into two karate guys at the bookstore.
Right.
And they listed off the top of their hand like 6 or 7 local, either jiu-jitsu, judo, mixed martial arts,
yeah, karate,
taekwondo.
So that's the main industry of that little town. So I tell you what, that was great. And I think David Chambers, editor for Classical Fight, he organized a real good seminar. It was a real good group. Everybody was nice.
Yeah, I felt fine talking with anyone, and anyone I talked with was really helpful.
Yeah, normally when you go to a seminar, especially when you're the kind of the odd guys out, like we were, the Shuriru guys at the Goju seminar, you know, someone's going to give you some shit, or there's going to be some problem here or there, and you got to deal. Even when you go to the seminars, where it's your own guys, you got to deal with stuff usually. But no, everybody was cool, and it was really good. So hats off to both of them. Mickey, is that the owner's
Mickey
name?
Mickey was the owner's name. I think he's the guy that provided the food, too.
Okay.
He seemed to be pretty much back talking to the guys in the kitchen.
Oh,
so maybe that's his restaurant, too.
Oh, okay. The little barbecue place.
The barbecue place.
Dinner. And hats off to David Chambers and Classical Fighting Arts. They did a great job.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
And the other guys that, a lot of the people that were at this seminar had also done the Okinawan trips.
With David Chambers.
Right, with David Chambers, because they put those on once or twice a year.
And that looked really interesting to me. Let's put in a plug.
Yeah.
That looked interesting to me, and I never really thought that much about going to Okinawa. Maybe I could have talked myself into a trip with a group of guys I know, but to go with strangers, I think that would be the kind of group I would do.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're strangers anymore.
No, they're cool. Everybody was friendly. And, you know, I had only seen that group from the other side. I was telling one of the guys there, he was, he had gone on the trip, the Classical Fighting Arts Tour in 2010, and he was all excited about the session he had with Shinzato Sensei and how fast he was and everything. I was in the bleachers. I was sitting in the bleachers watching you guys during that workout because I was there from the other side. Because Shinzato Sensei said, "Hey Nate, you know I'm teaching the seminar. Why don't you come down and watch?" And so I did, and I did the same thing when Kuba Sensei taught on that one. So I was seeing all those guys sort of from the outside and said hi to them and stuff like that. But yeah, for anybody who really wants to go over there and get to work with some really high level instructors with some really nice people, hey, Classical Fighting Arts, go for it, man.
Yeah, so that was when you were over preparing for your judo?
No. That was when I was living there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So farther back.
Yeah, so farther back was the guy I was talking about. But they still have these things. They're regularly. Some of the people went in October. In fact, a lot of the people that Miwa was hanging out with and talking to this trip, or this last weekend, were people that were there like in October, right before her and Fukuhara came over to Cincinnati.
Looking for a way to gain an edge on the competition? Want to give your body some much-needed relief and relaxation? Try Medical Resort ATAC, Okinawa's specialists in sports therapy and wellness care. ATAC offers customizable massage therapy. Try their oxygen chamber to increase metabolism, reduce fatigue, and promote faster recovery from injuries. Take their stretching course to increase flexibility and release muscle fatigue. ATAC also offers special courses in static and thermal therapy, foot therapy, and head therapy. Or try a session of ATAC's latest offering, acupuncture therapy, with their fully licensed acupuncture therapist. Want to find out more? ATAC is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Stop into their center located at 12830 Oroku in Naha City, Okinawa. Call 098-859-1890 or visit them on the web at www.a-tac.net. That's www.a-tac.net. Staff is fluent in English, Portuguese, Spanish, and Japanese.
Miwa's doing good. My old co-worker from Shoyaka. Always good to see her. And Kuba Sensei, super nice. Sat down with us, got us drunk on wine, told us a bunch about karate.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah, that was really cool. Very welcoming. Miwa was very nice. She helped me out with a little difficulty I had at the beginning getting signed up.
Yeah.
Yes. Very nice. Thank you, Miwa, if you hear this. Again.
Yeah. Arigato. And they brought in the Okinawa dance group, which was good, too. That was always nice to see a little Asa. And I heard some new songs. They didn't just play E.I. Sasa. They had a couple other ones this time.
Well, it's always good to have a little variance.
There's never any. Okinawa has five songs. Let's see. There's Haisai Oji-san. There's E.I. Sasa. There's the one by Begin. I can't remember what the song's name was. There's Zawawa. And there's one more, the one more I can't name, and that's it. But apparently Okinawan songwriter's been in overdrive because the ASA group did two I had never heard before, so that was impressive.
Always good to hear something.
Yeah. Well, Evan, this was, I know you've been to the USKK Nationals a few times, but you haven't really been on the tournament circuit and the seminar circuit.
Seminar circuit either. Actually, when I'd gone to the Nationals, strangely, time is more constrained than it is now, and I didn't even go to the seminar portion of the Nationals.
You just went.
I competed and went to the dinner, I drove home.
You just wanted to fight. You didn't want to mess around with learning anything.
Right. That was about it.
So what'd you think? This was maybe your first experience with Goju Ryu?
Oh, definitely first experience with Goju Ryu. And I see a lot of really good stuff there. I'm gonna be polluted with that forever.
Okay.
Well, if you're gonna say, "Oh, I'm a pure shuri man," I can do shuri, but I'm gonna do other things that I see that work, and some of the wrist stuff, hand stuff that Kubo Sensei was teaching, I'm practicing right at this moment.
Oh, he's got himself in a wrist lock there. He's gonna make himself tap out.
Yeah, I tapped out a bit. Yeah. Not as much as you did, as Dummy. You did Dummy three times? Or Tori, I guess it's that.
Yeah, I think Dummy's a better word for it. Yeah, it was a crash test dummy. Yeah, I think it was the last guy he used. I think he knew.
I think he overused the last guy.
He knew that we were leaving, and so he wanted to make sure my wrist was in disorder to go do. So I didn't do too well in the Joe seminar.
No, I think he got the last guy like that too hard. Yeah. The back of that wrist strike.
Yeah.
That sounded hard. I get to see the wins because I end up in the first row. It's like they'd heard that don't get in the front row, you'd be used as a dummy. Well, there's a big open hole right in the middle. So I'll get in line wherever. So I, right in the front row center.
Ah, that's fun. You know, the thing is, he'll bring the people out to demonstrate, but I've never seen him hurt anybody. And
No, I don't think that at all.
You know, but there are other people out there that do. You know, that they'll bring somebody out, and there was one group. I'm not gonna.
It would be good if you'd tell me this beforehand.
Well, if there's an issue with these guys, I'd let you know it. But there's not. He's fine. But there is. There was a group over there. There was an Australian group, and they went to work out with a particular instructor, and he beat one of their guys so bad when he was doing the demonstrations that he messed him up really bad, and they decided they couldn't work out with that guy anymore, and they were kind of at a loss because they spent all this money and all this time to go over there, and they didn't have anybody to work out with. I got him in. Luckily, I got him in with a Kabuto group, and somebody else got him in with another karate group, and I think, it wound up working out for him pretty good. But yeah, there's people out there. You gotta watch it. You never know when you go work out somebody else's dojo. Somebody's gonna take a swipe at you.
I want to try something and see if it works.
Yeah.
Not a good sentence to hear somebody say.
No. But then they had the a judo session also. They had that I wasn't expecting. They had I think the guy's name was O'Shaughnessy, who was he said he had been martial arts for about 60 years. He was
wasn't he an Olympic guy at one point?
Yeah, but karate was never in the Olympics, so I don't.
No, it would have been with the judo.
Judo, okay. I don't know.
I think he did Olympic judo.
Okay.
Maybe he's world champion.
I don't know. We'll look up his tournament record. I'll put that online or something. But he was a real good judo guy, about in his 70s, and his son was there. also, and they taught a good sort of introduction to judo. Good, a lot of people were karate guys, so they hadn't done much, so they did some falling and some throws, and then some other joint locks and pins and things also. So that was a nice session.
Intro.
Yeah, nice intro. Pretty different from the karate going on next door, but still good. Except the son was wearing a panda bear gi. I didn't understand that. It looked like he had a...
Yeah, I didn't get that either.
He had a stoned... In his gi, he had, like, two different patches that were, like, stone... It looked like a stoned panda bear. I don't know. You know, I know some of these UFC guys wear all kinds of crazy patches and stuff, so I...
Yeah, he was UFC for a while. He said he's retired. He said there's no money in
it. Yeah, he was a retired cage fighter, but he still had the panda bear uniform on. I don't know about that.
We're thinking sponsorship.
Yeah, maybe... Panda Express sponsor or something. I don't know what it was, but it was a good session. I learned some new techniques. You have this nice thing where you dig your thumb knuckle into the guy's collarbone, which I'd never seen before. And they had a little the son had a little variation on a jujikatami, sort of a cross arm lock where you stay sitting up instead of laying down, which was a little variation I hadn't seen. So that was good.
Yeah, and the guy I worked out with lined it up for me as far as the same way you were learning to get in closer to put the arm lock on. Mm-hmm. He was teaching me the same thing. The space is where people squirm out. Mm-hmm. So getting in really close and tight was really important. Mm-hmm.
And David Chambers' wife, Haruko, said I was cute.
Yeah, I did hear that.
Yeah.
Left turn.
We just got over the mountain pass. There, we almost went over the side. That's good.
Thanks.
Richard's still recording. So that was good. She was nice. Everybody was nice. It was good to see Miwa, Kuba Sensei, David Chambers, everybody. Everybody was cool. So, thumbs up on the Classical Fighting Arts Seminar.
Oh, yeah. It was class all the way.
Yeah. All right. And now on to Canada.
On to Canada, the Great White North.
We're only 2 hours into our drive, so only 11 more hours to go.
A little past that.
We're 2 hours and 15 minutes into our drive.
Okay, I'll give you that.
So only 11 hours and 45 minutes left to go.
They said they were 3 hours out when we started.
Yeah, so we have the other Kosho team. They've already headed up.
9 hours ahead of us.
Yeah, they're...
9 hours?
They've got a lead on us. But they're stopping to see the sights.
Yeah, and they went longer route too.
Right. All right. So that's it for our Classical Fighting Arts Kuba Sensei seminar recap. And next time we'll be coming to you from Canada.
Hey everyone, like the show? Enjoy hearing interviews with martial artists from around the world? Then share it with a friend, family member, coworker, everyone at your dojo, your fellow karateka. You can find new episodes every Sunday at choptalk.podbean.com. That's choptalk.podbean.com. And don't forget to like the show on Facebook. Thanks.
Especially not in Detroit. I've never been through it there, but I don't know.
All right.
Pass on that.
All right, guys. Well, congratulations. Yeah. On your promotions. Kanpai.
Kanpai.
I'll put water in
great.
Thank you.
Kanpai. Everything went according to plan. You four made it up here on your own. We made it up here on our own.
Barely.
After a couple of detours.
When you were late, we started to get worried. It was like, well, we can't call him, so what's the point of worrying?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of freeing.
Why? Is, oh, why? No, once the phone's gone, it's like...
Wait a minute. Why have cell phones?
I don't like them.
Well, all they do is, it's like, well, they didn't call.
It's my watch.
It
tells me what time it is.
Right.
And it's on airplane mode here. Literally all it does is
call say what time about it couldn't is. Get the internet all night.
I would like just leave notes everywhere for different
people. I wasn't even trying to use my. I was like, I'm not going to go back with a big old hefty bill.
So, what do you guys think of the seminar? Your review?
Pretty good.
It was an experience.
Yeah.
It was bigger than the one you guys did in. In Toronto, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, there. That seemed like about the same amount of sword people or so. Yeah. I mean, we didn't really see them all gathered or whatever. But the Joe, there was definitely 10 times as many people. I think when we did it, there was maybe 6 of us or something for EQ and 6 or 8 for Showdown. Mm-hmm. Kind of same. So
I was surprised at how big a percentage of people were testing. I mean, yeah. the ones that went over on the other group with me, it was, I don't know, 1/6, 1/8 of the total people that were going up. Mm-hmm. So that was surprising. And the instructors were really good. The instructor that we had, I think it was Maury. I want to say Maury. He's been down. He's been taught in Okinawa before at the seminars there. And the other guy also looked familiar.
The guy was our instructor guy. He said he was a Hachidan.
He could have been in Okinawa, or he could have been one of the guys that was here last year. Do you remember the guys that were here last year, Tom?
We can probably look at pictures.
Yeah, one guy that was on the table with the two people I was there. So. But the one, the bald-headed guy, was missing or whatever.
Mission accomplished.
That's it. We did what we came to do.
Well, that's you guys.
When we made it back, some jinxes.
No, it's you guys. You guys have been busting your ass all year and getting organizing this trip and filling out all the forms.
Going through the paper maze. Paul.
Yeah.
This guy was me and Travis's savior.
No, yes. He didn't do it for me, but the follow the. I did it all wrong and figured it all out for you guys. I started down the wrong thing, and they're like, no, that's for Canadian students. I'm like, oh, sorry.
Oh, you did the same thing. Because the Neil Roy, no, that's a different guy.
Neil Ginswell.
Neil Ginswell had to reset yours twice because the first time you forgot to fill out anything, and the other time you fill it out as a Canadian.
You'd have to emigrate.
I was afraid they weren't going to let you test, man.
It was close.
I wasn't sure. Like, he could have said no. So right. We got to thank that guy.
The guy sitting in the middle of the table.
I think that may be Kim Taylor.
Yeah, that's
I think
Kim
he's
Taylor.
The organizer of this whole
is that the
seminar.
The beard guy?
Yeah.
The big guy with
the beard. He always has some beard.
He does. He's got.
Like, smart intelligent or smart assed?
It just comes off a little like derogatory, but like just like slightly there, you know. So it's not like you could say like Mr. Mean,
right?
But you know what I mean? Like it's just Mr. Mean to me.
Which way are you guys going back?
We're gonna go through Detroit.
Oh, that's like a 3-hour drive.
Yes. You mean to get to Detroit?
Yeah.
So I should drink a beer. You mean?
Yeah.
All right, I'll get one.
Was it 3 hours to get through the border that way?
It doesn't take me very much convincing.
You guys are gonna be dragging me out of here. Light out.
We started this trip, and we were trying to figure out the GPS situation. So Travis has brought a GPS for us, the TomTom, and we're going to use that thing. And it's supposedly been to Canada already. We put it on, and we didn't make it past Columbus without it taking us off of 71. I should have known better. I knew that we didn't get off 71, but I followed the thing for some reason, and it takes us off 270 to go around the bypass, and then it tries to take us off to 270 East or something, 70 East, and we're on 70 East, and the other thing's telling us turn around and so we put that one in the back,
yeah,
and then we use the tablets, which was what we usually use, and I MapQuest maps of the rest of it and took screenshots of them, and then we use the car GPS, which works okay, except for the problem we had with it doesn't say anything. So I'm just driving along and nobody's paying attention. I missed a turn by something. And
we always need someone to sit there like awake when you navigate. It never works.
You know what I use in my car? An atlas.
That's what we should. We don't. I forgot it.
Two atlases. I told Paul because I didn't make it to my parents' house. I told him grab my atlases. They're both in my room.
I drank a lot Friday night though. So.
Yeah. Did we drink together?
No, I just at the parents.
There's only one road through Canada. There's 401 from. That's all you guys got to do is just get back on 401 and go west, and then you're in Detroit, and then you get on 75, and you go to Cincinnati. Yeah. You have to go make. Two turns.
No, they don't got nothing like that in America, man. I never had nothing like that.
This is traditional British food, like spotted dick.
and peckered heifer.
No, we'll do.
It said bangers.
Bangers and
bangers and mash.
Bangers and mash.
Everything, all English food is vaguely erotic.
So do you still get the, after all the seminars and testing and everything you've done, do you still get the nervous feeling?
When I think that they're going to try to screw me, I'm not nervous.
Mr. Vince.
When I think I'm going to be failed no matter what I do,
you can get the sauce
for whatever reason. I'm not nervous because then I'm going to like, well, if they're going to fail.
So when you think they're going to screw you, you don't get the nervous feeling going?
No.
You get more motivation?
No, if like someone has spent 45 minutes screaming that they should not put a gaijin up for promotion, like I'm not nervous because like, I'm going to fail. So I might as well just be the best person out there.
The best one that failed out there.
Yeah. If I think that like I've got a shot, then I get nervous. In this like December, I was really nervous because Fugihara Sensei, all those people came over from Japan, you know, spent all that time and all that money, and then he sucked his neck out to put me up. And I went over there early, so I was nervous because if something went wrong, that was really bad for him and for everybody. Yeah. I was nervous on that.
Did you mess up at all?
What's that?
Did you mess up at all?
No, I did okay.
What would be the percentage of the people that don't want gaijins going up?
Oh, man, I don't know about that.
I wonder what's with the deal with the vertical versus horizontal net.
I don't know. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a big controversy this weekend. So, I had been taught by one of the Menkyo Kaiden of Shindo Musoru Jodo that when you tie your knot on your uniform, it has to be vertical. And he even showed us a special technique to tie your knot vertically because it doesn't go vertically naturally.
Yeah, well, how would you have acquired the technique for tying it vertically unless someone told you?
Right.
That's what I was thinking.
But then when you guys were getting ready for your test today, what happened?
He told us, they literally told us that the knot had to be horizontal.
Somebody asked, didn't they?
Someone specifically said
they were talking about the uniform.
Nowhere in Japanese martial arts does anyone tie it vertically. I thought in my
on
head,
any,
somebody does.
On any Japanese martial arts.
Well, my prediction is that guy doesn't like the guy who ties it vertically. I don't know anything about their politics or anything like that, but those two guys must not like each other. That's what I do know.
And the knot.
I like the idea that my inside knot is still vertical.
I just have to ask you, I don't know if I should
get. You have the hidden vertical.
This is what dating's devolved.
On the inside, I'm still vertical.
This is
what you have to worry about. If I have any kids, I'm dropping them straight off of the dojo. You can have them do whatever you want to.
I don't want to raise any kids, man.
Me, yes.
Well, the nice thing is, though, I could raise them for an hour and I'd send them home with your ass. I always get the kids really worked up before I send them home with their parents, too. So, taste of their own medicine.
Oh, right at the end, he does. He does exercises to get them all hyped up and stuff, too, like little rope drills and stuff like that.
Everybody have a Mountain Dew.
There was, back in Peoria, there was a woman who came to the dojo, her like 8-year-old kid, she's dragging it by the arm, opens the door of the dojo, throws the kid in and says, I can't do anything with them, you take it. Slams the door, takes off in her car. She had Walker sitting here with this kid. It's like they're just looking at each other. Well, he had to chase down the woman because she had to sign the release. So I think it signed him up for a year.
We can't even discipline him if you don't sign this.
Yeah, we can't beat him in the head unless you sign the waiver.
This is Mike Tarvin of Tarvin Plumbing Company. You may have heard me answering questions as a plumbing expert on the Gary Sullivan Show over the years. I'm here today to make you aware of our company. We perform plumbing repairs of all types. We've been in business since 1907 through 5 generations of family members. That's 109 years of providing top quality workmanship and outstanding service. If you're having issues with leaks, stoppages, water heaters, fixtures, or piping, we're here to help. Spring rains may be taking a toll on your sump pump. To help out, ask us about our summer sump pump special. We can inspect the existing pump and replace it if necessary for a special summer price. We can also inspect or add a battery backup and other devices for extra security to keep you high and dry. We offer you peace of mind for your plumbing system with reliable, trustworthy service backed by years of experience. Tarvin Plumbing is a Cincinnati company with an appreciation of the wide range of plumbing challenges this city offers. So if you or someone you know has a need for plumbing repairs of any type, please think of us at Tarvin Plumbing. You can reach us at tarvinplumbing.com. That's tarvinplumbing.com. Thank you.
Okay, again, kanpai. There we go, Tom. Okay.
Tom, long shot.
Awesome. We did it.
We did it. And you got that knockdown on number five. That's good. I start doing that on number five. I don't know what it is about number five, but at some point, like, you'll get in the habit of just missing. And Tom was worrying me because he missed a few times when we were practicing.
Yeah.
He just nailed it on the test. So.
I think the most useful thing that we got from the sensei there is a lot of what he explained to us for a while there. He's trying not to wear us out so that we screwed up on our test. So he's kind of slowing it down towards the end.
Uh-huh.
But he went and explained for, I think, about 20, 30 minutes. And they went through 1 through 8. They just had a couple, they rotated a few pairs through there. And he would sit here and point out any things that he believed were things that were easy habits to fall into that would start taking you down the wrong road and getting bad muscle memory.
One of the big ones I saw was on your knockdown, using the ball of your foot. And then after he did that, though, I could not remember whether I was using the ball of my foot or the heel of my foot.
He means rotating on the ball.
Yeah, like twisting it out.
Versus
I couldn't remember which way I did it. Well, he said it's dangerous. I don't think it's bad, but it's dangerous for, you said, your opponent, because for some reason when you do
you
that,
get more power, and it gives you blast through and hit your foot.
That's what you said.
You hit the top of the sword instead of hitting on the side of it as much.
For some reason, I thought you were on the other side.
I floated around because, you know, people get in that habit when they're done. A seminar, they're like, I must stay here. I can't go over this line. I can't get a better view of whoever's presenting. They're only there to talk to you, so you gotta move around.
It was kind of the same thing on Kai Shizuki. He says, I was kind of trying to explain that earlier. Not when you rotate on the ball of your foot, I think. But he said, if you push the front foot first, then you'll end up taking too much weight off of the back foot and loading it up basically, and it gets out of line. So you say, and I tried starting to do that, and it actually really works. Getting my back foot to move first, and it kind of brings it around a little easier.
There were so many of them. Mm-hmm. Oh my
and then,
God.
Let's see, the biggest thing he was trying to explain
like shoulders
was
level, all the simple ones,
what they called like fish tailing.
Stance back.
Okay, and he was saying that as you're moving through a lot of the ones where you're in the side face stance, that you can get your feet too far behind, and say when you do the knockdown or when you go into Kai Shizuki, that your back foot can get crossed over behind or too far back, too far past straight.
You might get muffled in there,
and
then my indigestion.
It just gets worse and worse and becomes a habit.
Especially after
that, you're just not very well balanced.
Yeah, nothing but a.
Good. A lot of more overloading the hips too.
His personality kind of reminded me of Puka Harlow, but you could tell he was kind of having fun, and it was like, you know, you could pick that up on
jokes.
That and I think if we knew Japanese, it would have been.
He said, when we get home, when we get done with the seminar, we need to take our Joe in our shower with us and shampoo it.
Yep,
I'm not joking
said.
At all.
I've heard that before.
He said use shampoo, not.
He said, don't use any floor cleaner, don't use anything like that. He says, use shampoo and clean the hand oils off of it, and it'll keep it from getting dark areas. He said, they said, a dirty Joe is not proof of your training.
You know what? I'd heard that before with. Ikeda-san had told me that.
You told us that story. That he was going to take a shower with
it. He took a shower with it.
Thank you.
That's great.
I wonder if we got the guy that I was working with, he'd been in Okinawa for sure. The other guy looked familiar. He'd been in Okinawa, but I don't know when exactly. But both those guys sort of make the tournament teaching circuit.
Cool. And what did you think about all their, what they said something about, all the different colored Joe's and Tachi's and all that.
Well, you'd
been telling us this for a long time.
Yeah, what I couldn't believe, Tom, when you and I came up here last year, was that everybody had them. Because it was made clear that you had to have a white oak Joe and a white oak Boken, and that's all there was to it. I had a red oak Boken, and they said, no, you cannot have
you
that.
You can go buy a white one.
This time, he said he didn't like, obviously, there's deep red ones, and there's laminated Tachis, and all kinds of stuff out there today.
Well, I was glad that he said something, because when I asked, I was told no, because I would have had a red Joe, too.
I'm thinking this is like a business opportunity here.
If I'm not allowed, no one is.
Somebody's selling them.
They're selling them at the seminar.
At the seminar.
But he said oak. When he was saying that he didn't like to see any of those other ones, he said oak, hickory, or birch is what he named three woods.
He just wanted white. He wasn't going to do a DNA test on your Joe.
Exactly.
It's just dark, though, isn't it?
Yeah, sometimes.
But, yeah, I'm sure the Japanese guys are done with the crazy stuff. And look, it's fine. I know some people are doing the woodworking. We've got the ones that are half and half of the dojo. That's cool, but not for the test and not for the seminar.
Right.
Somebody said, like, some woman was complaining on it. Well, this is my favorite Joe, and it had a spiral on there. And he said, you can use it as much as you want when you train at the dojo.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
He was saying about that. And then, it wasn't in our group, but the other group of Shodan testers, they had some long key eyes in there. The one guy had.
Well, the one thing I know from not even observing that was good about ours was that we were all on cue. We were all doing the same thing at the same time. Luckily, the person to my right, the hot chick, is probably too young.
She was kind of hot, wasn't she?
Yeah. Hey, I got her. She put her hair down at one point. Did you see her? That
was nice. That was crazy.
I got her email address. You want it?
I'll sell it to you. That's creepy, Mr. Judge. You can't just give her info out.
Nobody could sell it.
But give it to Paul. We figured out she was smiling at all three of us, and probably you too.
She smiled at me too.
There you go.
Yeah.
I knew it. I knew she was
like this. That girl playing hockey today.
I talked to her. I said, we're playing the wrong sport.
Hey, should I play hockey? I should have brought my skates. What am I doing?
You would have been right in there.
You're hanging out with the wrong crowd.
I'm done with you guys. If you guys want to get promoted, you know where to go. You know how to fill out the paperwork. I'm done.
What about the training aspect? We kind of need you for that.
Mr. England, Mr. England's a women's coach now.
That's it.
This year, though, he was great at karate. He went to hockey for the women.
I played hockey before I did karate. I'm just going back to my roots, man.
How old were you when you started hockey?
I was probably about 11 or 12.
Okay, so was there a period where you did hockey and karate, or was it
high school? Yeah, high school. I played. I played hockey through high school, and so I started karate when I was 15. So I was like a sophomore.
Did you find karate beneficial to the hockey? Or?
Yeah, it's awesome. You could, someone messes with you, you can throw them down, put them in a kesakatani on the ice.
Jodo would probably be helpful too, having some stick technique.
Oh well, I was already doing kabuto, so I took some hockey dirty tricks and brought them into my kabuto, because you can like cross check a guy. So, like, normally they're just hitting each other with the end, but you can just keep the same grip and bang, hit some guy right across the nose.
Yeah.
All right, we've been drinking too much and we're into the beer and we're talking about chicks. I'm going to turn off the chop talk. Does anyone else have anything else to say about the seminar or martial arts?
I think we talked about the things that we kind of got corrections on and stuff today for the most part, and the things we learned.
All right, that was a good recap. Okay, that's it. Chop talk phase 3.2. Karate adventure out. Hey everyone, like the show? Enjoy hearing interviews with martial artists from around the world? Then share it with a friend, family member, co-worker, everyone at your dojo, your fellow karateka. You can find new episodes every Sunday at choptalk.podbean.com. That's choptalk.podbean.com.
and don't forget to like the show on Facebook. Thanks.